It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, March 8th. I'm Patricia Naft. A woman died in Grand Junction yesterday morning in a fatal car accident. According to the Grand Junction Police Department, the woman was making a left turn when she was struck by oncoming traffic. After months of disease reports and quarantines, the Colorado Department of Agriculture declared the state free of vesticular stomatitis. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The disease affects livestock and horses. Infected animals develop blisters on their mouth, nose, and hooves. Now, the last lingering quarantine is gone, and the state is VS-free. 441 different facilities across the state were quarantined since last July. This year was particularly rough for the Western Slope. VS quarantines shut down travel for ranchers trying to sell calves. Horse shows saw a drop in participation due to the restrictions. The disease itself also affected dairies, cutting into milk production. Steve Rohr is the Colorado State Veterinarian. He says that some promising trials conducted by the U.S. Department of Agriculture might lead to a VS vaccine.
If dairies could vaccinate prior to an outbreak, they understand how economically devastating it can be, and if we had a tool that prevented infection, it'd be very valuable.
The vaccine would also help stop a disease that isn't terribly well understood. Usually, it sweeps through the Front Range one year, and then the Western Slope the next, spread by black flies. Then, years go by before another case is reported, cropping up again on the Front Range. USDA epidemiologists are studying it, but Rohr says the reason why it behaves like this, with big outbreaks followed by years of silence, is unknown.
Fly patterns have some to do with it, and we know there's a resident population of affected animals in Mexico where it's more of a continuous cycle down there. Why does it come north in certain years? I'm not sure we fully understand. There could be other mammals that harbor and perhaps amplify the virus. There may be an immunity issue there, but a lot of research done and still more questions than answers.
He can't predict next summer, but he hopes that the pattern continues, and Colorado will see several more years before the next outbreak. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The new design for Colorado driver's licenses and identification cards showcases a Western Slope mountain. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
14er Mount Sniffles, part of the San Juan Range, is featured in the background of the cards. Lynn Glanger is the Director of Communications for the Colorado Division of Motor Vehicles. She says the new look is the direct result of a contract with a new vendor.
What we wanted was a mountain that was very representative of Colorado, and the vendor chose Mount Sniffles and presented that as a design option because it has the snow-capped peaks and trees that are, again, representative of Colorado. So they provided that image, and you know, the department decided that that was the one we wanted to go with.
On the back of the card is a picture of the state capitol building.
The biggest difference that customers will notice is that their photograph on the card will now be in black and white, and that's because it's laser engraved to help prevent duplication and also enhance facial features.
Glanger says the DMV rolled out the IDs at its Littleton office on March 1st.
And then we'll be rolling that out to our Aurora and Frisco state driver license offices this month. We hope, depending on how the pilot goes, we hope to have it at every location in Colorado in the coming months.
She adds residents can continue to use valid state IDs through their expiration date. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Colorado Democrats and Republicans recently wrapped up their caucuses, and two lawmakers are planning to introduce a bill to change the state's caucus system and add a presidential primary. Benta Berkland discusses the possibility as part of our Capitol Conversation series.
We're here with Joey Bunch, a reporter with the Denver Post, and Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald. Right now, we're one of only about a dozen states that still has the caucus system.
Well, it's an antiquated system. It goes back to the colonial days. And most states, of course, have gone to a primary, and there's momentum to go to a primary in Colorado, especially after the problems they had Tuesday night.
The chair of the state Democratic Party and the chair of the Republican Party in Colorado both support this idea of having a presidential primary.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. All it takes is pissing off a bunch of voters to get both sides of the aisle to come together on an issue. Voters, you know, they were really passionate. They were pumped up. They really wanted to go, and they wanted to be part of this democratic process. And then they got there, and they found out that it would take an hour to get in. We've tried in the legislature several times to address this issue and transition away from a caucus system to a primary system. And every time it always hits the same funding roadblocks. This year, the lawmakers who are pushing it believe that they have the groundswell of support. Certainly, they have the emotion on their side. But when I ask them about how they're going to come up with the money for this, that remains the unanswered question. So we'll see how this actually shakes out this year.
And when you're saying groundswell of support, do you mean from other legislators, or are we seeing a public sentiment where people actually want this?
I think that public sentiment is what's influencing the lawmakers. They are getting tons of emails, lots of calls, seeing it on Facebook, on Twitter. People just hate it right now, and they want something different.
Voters have a short attention span. I know my friend Peter on social media the other day noted that, you know, this comes up all the time. It lasts for about 3 weeks, and then people forget it for the next 4 to 8 years.
On the other side, a lot of people are saying the caucus system is really the grassroots chance to get involved and to get people together and debate ideas from a neighborhood. And a lot of people who do support the caucus system are very passionate about it.
Well, others say just the opposite, though, that it's only for 2 hours on a Tuesday night, and it only attracts the party elite and the most dedicated people. You know, the most democratic way might be the way we do other elections in Colorado. Mail a ballot to people's houses, give them a couple of weeks to do it, and I think it'll involve a lot more people. If we want a broader democracy, we have to have a broader electoral system.
I had one friend who was waiting for his mail ballot to come in the mail so that he could participate. He assumed that it was just like any other election, and all of a sudden he started seeing on Facebook that people were getting charged up to go vote for Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, and he was asking, where's his mail ballot? So I think that people are expecting this at this point, and like I said, we'll just see if the legislature can figure it out. If not, I wouldn't be surprised if some citizens pull together an initiative on this.
A lot of the debate this year is going to come down to the funding piece, and in the next few weeks, that's going to be the focal point of the State House when lawmakers discuss the budget and potentially the hospital provider fee. So it seems like this might all be roped in together.
Right. It would be hard to carve out $6 million for this when, you know, you're looking at giving nearly $1 billion in refunds next year.
And so along with the budget stuff, the governor got a piece of good news, a sort of legal blessing from the Republican attorney general, I might add, saying that this transfer, this restructuring of the hospital provider fee would be a legal move. So now the question is just how much progress the legislature can make on that. It's, you know, possible that $200 million becomes available for future spending, and we're going to have to focus on roads and transportation and education as top priorities, but it opens the door to a whole bunch of other budget discussions, such as potentially dealing with this primary system.
Thanks. That was Peter Marcus with the Durango Herald and Joey Bunch with the Denver Post. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver, and this is Capital Conversation.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.